Decision time for Mitch Daniels. Will he run? John Gregg for governor. A controversial ruling from the Indiana Supreme Court and a confrontation at the deaf school. That plus turning circles in Carmel and more on Indiana Week in Review for the week ending May 20, 2011.
Ice Miller, proud to support Indiana Week in Review. The path to a successful business has unexpected twists and turns. The legal professionals at Ice Miller are dedicated to guiding businesses along the journey. Experience takes businesses to the top. Ice Miller can help them stay there. Ice Miller, it's a complex world. Be advised.
This week, Mitch Daniels is close to a decision on a run for the White House, and he is now talking about how he would approach the campaign. Daniels revealed that he hears from potential volunteers in Iowa and New Hampshire every day. After a speech to a service club in Cherubusco, Daniels told reporters that he is collecting those names, but the governor still wouldn't say if he is leaning one way or another regarding his future plans. As for how his family is conducting its deliberations, he said, quote, "That's kind of between us." But what about that list of names?
Not a day goes by we don't hear from people and who have advice for us and say they'd like to be part of it if we go. If it's yes, then we'll want everybody's help. And if it's no, then I owe them an answer and an explanation.
Will Daniels take the plunge? It's the first question for our Indiana Week in Review panel. Democrat Dan Parker. Republican Mike McDaniel. Leslie Weidenbender, State House Bureau Chief for the Louisville Courier-Journal, and John Ketzenberger, President of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. I'm Wish TV State House reporter Jim Shella. Dan Parker, does he sound more like a candidate every day?
Sure, but he's going to eventually need to say what he's doing, and obviously he's leaning towards doing it, or he wouldn't be talking about some of the things that he's been talking about lately about, you know, the primary schedule and where he would be able to compete.
He's getting a lot of pressure in the national media. Is he getting pressure from Republicans?
Sure. There are a lot of people who are eager for him to get into this race, including me. I hope he does. I think he'd be a great president. I do think he could get the nomination, and that's key. He wouldn't get in it if he didn't think he could win. And he sure sounds like a candidate. When he starts talking about how you campaign differently in the early states versus the middle states versus the late states, obviously, he's given us a lot of thought, and I, for one, am excited about that because he is giving it so much thought.
He's also talking about topics like the national debt, things that, you know, in a speech to the South Bend Chamber of Commerce, he's talking about the national debt. That's not something he would have been doing a few months ago.
No, but although he never has shied away from talking about how he thinks the country is headed in the wrong direction, I mean, I think we could all agree that if the governor could just go to Washington and do this job and come home, I mean, he would be in. I think the real question for him is, does he want to live with Secret Service protection for the rest of his life? Does he want his family to have to deal with scrutiny, the security, all of the issues that they would have to go through? And does he want to spend potentially the next 10 years, 2 years running, 4 years, possibly a second 4 years, away from his family?
So you say he hasn't made up his mind yet?
I think there's still a possibility he might say no.
He certainly, every time he discusses these things, even though he talks about possibilities and potential plans, first of all, he hasn't put any apparatus together. And Secondly, he always leaves the door open to a possible no.
You do not want to play cards against Governor Daniels because you'll lose. I mean, it's almost impossible to read. I think Dan's absolutely right. I think Mike's right. He's saying things that you would have to say and make you think that he's looking forward, and I agree with that. But at the same time, Leslie's right on the money. He's got a real dilemma in his mind. It's whether he wants to subject his family and himself to the next, you know, to the process, or does he want to answer what he feels is a call to service, and he thinks he's a person that can do that for his party. And so that's a real dilemma, a real struggle for him, and I think that he really hasn't reached the go-no-go yet. He's probably moving closer to the go.
I mean, eventually he has to make a decision because you hit a subject that's very important. He has no apparatus. He hasn't been traveling the country. He hasn't been putting the infrastructure together that all these other candidates have been doing. And look, for the first time in his life, he's going to be attacked by fellow Republicans. His record is going to come under tremendous scrutiny, not just from our side of the aisle, but from his own.
In the meantime, the Indiana Democratic Party this week's been pounding on him pretty good on the internet. You don't want him on the ballot in 2012, right?
Well, I don't think he's going to be on the ballot. He'll be on the primary ballot, but I don't think he'll be on the general election ballot.
But you don't want that to happen, right?
Well, I'd like to see Barack Obama beat him real good.
Okay, but the chances that Barack Obama would beat Mitch Daniels in Indiana aren't all that rosy.
Well, that's yet to be seen, but he has to get the nomination first.
Okay.
And I think he will get that nomination if he gets in it. And I think that and part of that reason is because the field around him is starting to implode. And I think he's looking at that and he's saying, look, I can win this thing. And he will win it. If he gets in it, he's going to be the nominee.
I am absolutely
convinced that if he's in it, he will be the nominee.
His record on the debt is going to be attacked by fellow Republicans. He started this thing when he was OMB director.
You're going to be the saddest guy in Indiana because he is going to beat you like a borrowed mule in the state, and you know it.
It's going to be interesting if it happens. Time now for viewer feedback. Each week, we pose an unscientific online poll question in conjunction with our Ice Miller email and text alerts. This week's question is, would you vote for Mitch Daniels for president? Your choices are A, yes, B, it depends on the choices available, or C, never. Last week's question was, Joe Donnelly would do better against which Republican? 5% said Richard Lugar, 75% said Richard Murdoch, 20% said it doesn't matter. If you'd like to take part in the poll, go to WFYI.org/IWIR and look for the poll. John Gregg, the former Speaker of the Indiana House, kicked off a campaign for governor this week.
Well, we're going to give her a shot.
John Gregg is a conservative Democrat who says he will run a middle-of-the-road campaign. He told supporters at this Northside Farmers Market that it will be a fun race.
It's going to be filled with optimism, and it's going to be a happy campaign, because a happy campaign's a winning campaign.
In what's become a trend for politicians in 2011, Gregg kicked off the race with an internet video, a message to voters where he also played up the positive.
They want a leader who'll bring us together, not divides us. They want a leader who delivers results, not excuses.
Yeah, Mike McDaniel, is he trying to run as the anti-politician?
If he does, it's going to be a failed attempt, because John Gregg can run about anything, but he can't say he's not a politician. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is that and then some. So, he's going to try to be different. He's got to try to distinguish himself, and it's going to be interesting to see. I think he's a formidable candidate, but he's got his work cut out for him. Mike Pence is going to be a very tough competitor. He knows how to raise money, he knows how to communicate, and that's going to be tough for John, because a lot of people are going to want to be involved in this campaign from top to bottom, and that's going to be difficult for the Democrats to win that back this time around.
I pose the anti-politician question because we all know that politics is all about imagery, image making, and he did this video where he's sitting in a porch swing, without a coat and tie. He's got the dark glasses. He's got the mustache that you don't usually see on a statewide candidate. I mean, he's a different sort of candidate.
Well, I think first of all,
or is he just a consultant's nightmare?
Ding. Sorry, John. I mean, John is different. I mean, we all know him. When he was Speaker, you never knew what was going to come out of his mouth. But he hasn't been on the ballot for 10 years. He hasn't been at the State House for 10 years. And I think that right from the get-go, I think he's creating a contrast with, the slick, congressman from Washington, Mike Pence. I agree with, almost everything that Mike just said. Mike Pence is a good communicator. I don't know what he's done as a congressman in Washington other than, propaganda. But, John Gregg has created a contrast, and I think his style will be the basis of his campaign.
So the Republicans jumped on John Gregg immediately, pointing out that he's a registered lobbyist, an issue that the Democrats tried to use against Dan
Coats.
That worked
so well against Dan Coats.
Yeah. So
that's Senator Coats to you, pal.
Yeah. Did that experience take this issue off the table, or are the Democrats engaged in hypocrisy here by running a lobbyist for governor?
Or are the Republicans engaged in hypocrisy by attacking him for it? I mean, you know, that
I want to know what Mike's answer is on this.
You're asking after
forward
the show.
To this one, actually.
Now I'm looking forward to it.
I think that what you see is an attempt to, you know, early define or redefine, however you want to put it. And I think the proof will be in the result. So I think you have an example with Dan Coats of success, despite that label. And I think John Gregg, if he succeeds, will put it to rest for good.
It's looking like John Gregg's going to be the only Democrat in the race, but will the party unify behind him?
I think absolutely. I mean, he is going to be a strong candidate. He may be too conservative for some members of the party. He may be a little bit of a wild card for others because you don't ever know what he's going to say. But I do think he's going to be a strong candidate. He's a smart guy. He's very personable. People who know him like him. And so I think he's going to be strong, and in the end, that's what Democrats want, is a good candidate.
Your thoughts on the lobbyist question?
I mean, he is a registered lobbyist, and I love the answer.
But he hasn't been hanging around the
State House.
I love
the answer that he hadn't been there but twice in 10 years or whatever the line was. Well, you know, if he's smart and learned anything from the campaign that Dan Parker and company ran trying to slime Dan Coats, you know, he ought to just disclose right now what clients he's brought to the firm that they do lobby for. Has he ever made a phone call to a government employee? Has he ever made a phone call to a legislator? You don't have to be in the State House to lobby the legislature. Yeah, and I love the fact that they passed this off.
Because Dan Coats disclosed all of that.
I love they passed this off that he hasn't done any of this stuff. Well, then why are they paying him to be a registered lobbyist in his law firm if he hadn't done any of this
stuff?
We've
gone down the rabbit hole.
What I'm saying is, John, if you're listening, learn your lesson and get it all out there right now and get it over with.
Jim, your question was, did the Dan Coats race put this to rest? And I think, frankly, it did. I mean, that was not a big issue in that race. It's really, I mean, they tried to make it.
They did.
I'm saying it didn't. I don't think
it
worked.
It didn't work.
That's what I meant to say. It didn't work.
You think it would work against John Gregg?
No, I don't think it's a big deal. But my point is, because they did it, he can learn from this and get it out of the way if he knows how to play it. But if not, it'll linger.
So will there be disclosure?
Well, that's a question for John, but to answer your question, Dan Coats didn't do any of that, okay? And the year took care of that question.
The year did.
2010.
The fact is that John Gregg left the legislature, became president of Vincennes University. This is not anything even remotely close to the Dan Coats case.
As Rex says, there's hypocrisy and there's hypocrisy, and you're the king of hypocrisy.
That's a compliment coming from you.
Moving on. The Indiana Supreme Court is the target of threats following a controversial ruling. The opinion came in a Vandenberg County domestic dispute case. A husband tried to keep the cops out of their apartment after his wife called 911. In a 3-2 ruling, the court said, "We hold that there is no right to reasonably resist unlawful entries by police officers."
It projects concern for Hoosiers out there that may be victims of crime or potential victims of crime.
That's Carrie Bloomquist, an attorney who assists domestic violence victims. John Ketzenberger, will that ruling lead to house-to-house searches by police?
You know, it's not very likely, but it's possible. And I think that that's what's got a lot of people troubled about this ruling, is it really sends the Fourth Amendment on its ear. Today, the Attorney General said that he's joining, if there's another petition.
Greg Zeller, who won this ruling.
Who won the ruling, said if there's a petition by the guy who lost, by Barnes, for a rehearing on this, he'll join that because he wants to see it. He still wants to win the case, of course, but he wants to see it be a narrow interpretation so that it's just domestic violence cases, not just broadly. Because this ruling broadly opens it up so that if police want to come in your house, according to this ruling, they can.
I disagree. I don't think that's what the ruling said. The ruling doesn't say that it's legal for police to come into your house in any situation that it wasn't legal before. It says you don't have a right to fight them or to stop them from coming in. But it doesn't make that search legal. It doesn't say, well, police used to be able to only come into your house under these circumstances. Now they can just come into your house any time they want. It's still wrong for them to come into their the House under those circumstances. But if you read the decision, the justices were very concerned about the escalation that can happen when someone tries to resist, particularly in a situation where the police officers believe that they are doing the right thing.
I think that your interpretation is reasonable on this, but I think it's much more plain than that. When you read that sentence, it says it is not the law. And in Indiana, it does not apply anymore.
To stop the police. It doesn't say that makes that search legal. You have other remedies. It just aims to prevent an escalation of sort of a violent or situation when the police believe they are coming in a legal situation.
But the question is wide open right now.
All right. In the meantime, it's led to a lot of broader discussion. I mean, this was a ruling that was written by Stephen David, a recent appointee of Mitch Daniels, and some people are looking at that and saying, is this a lesson for the type of people he might appoint to the U.S. Supreme Court if he becomes president?
Oh, that's a little bit of a stretch. I mean, this was a 3-2 vote.
Mike, that didn't come from our side.
That was a 3-2. That was a 3-2 vote.
Frank Sullivan signed on to it, right?
He did, yes. He did. It was a 3-2 vote, and Justice Sullivan was one of the people who voted for it. This has set off a firestorm internally in the legislature. You are going to see this, regardless of the outcome, discussed in detail in the next session of the legislature. You're going to find legislative remedies going out of their way to try to figure out a way to get around this. This is a very broad interpretation, and a lot of people are very upset about it.
So if the court doesn't change it, the legislature will, is what you're
Absolutely.
Saying.
Absolutely.
Okay. In the meantime, you're kind of fond of the Indiana Supreme Court today, because if we move on to another case, they ruled in favor of the Indiana Democratic Party in the Charlie White case and instructed the State Recount Commission to get going.
Move forward.
Yeah, hold a hearing on June 21st and come up with a ruling. Do you think that the Recount Commission will settle the White matter before the criminal courts do?
Well, they're set up for the dates that they've already set forth, according to the Commission Chairman Tom Wheeler, that by June 30th they'll have a decision. You know, the practical effect of the Supreme Court ruling today was just to eliminate all the other appeals that Charlie White himself has put forward. So we're all looking forward to put this matter behind us.
And do you think the Recount Commission will see things your way?
Well,
which means remove him from office.
Well, right? The Recount Commission has to decide, was he legally registered to vote on July 15th? And the answer to that was he wasn't.
Well, that's your answer. If that's their answer.
If that's their answer, then he will be removed from office.
How big a ruling is this?
Considerably. I think they were looking for guidance from the Supreme Court as to a narrower interpretation of what the law actually means, and they didn't get that guidance. And so now they're going to have to decide. And Tom Wheeler is a no-nonsense guy. He's the right guy to be
chairman
doing
of the
this.
Recount Commission.
He's the right guy to be doing this. I look for him to render a decision by their timeline at the end of June.
Well, that was the point in the ruling today by the court, was that there has been no decision made, and so you can't appeal until there's a decision. So once the commission makes its decision, then you might have basis for a higher court appeal.
And they said we won't entertain any more appeals until after there's a decision,
right.
But that suggests that they will entertain appeals afterwards. So.
Certainly. I mean, that is the course of business, that those decisions can be appealed. But I think what the Supreme Court was saying was get to it.
Mm-hmm.
Get this thing going.
That's right.
Moving on, there is controversy this week at the Indiana School for the Deaf. The Indiana School for the Deaf teaches both English and American Sign Language. But some parents of deaf students believe there is an effort to phase out American Sign Language here.
We're trying to deal with people who already know that they're going to try to do everything that they can to remove the American Sign Language from the school.
Mitch Daniels appointed 4 new board members on April 15th. Only one of them is deaf. They attended their first board meeting last week.
Please forgive me that we want to throw you out.
And a group of parents were there to confront them. There are 7 board members in all, and only one is deaf. The angry parents later posted this video on YouTube and on a website for the Indiana Association of the Deaf.
You cannot possibly understand our viewpoint. We are
Leslie Weidenbender, are these parents jumping the gun?
I don't really think so, because what they're doing is they're calling attention to the situation. Now I think that whatever decisions the board makes will be made under a little more scrutiny, and I think that's what these parents really wanted. I mean, in their best case scenario, maybe these folks would not have been appointed, but now people will be watching what they do.
Okay, but they're assuming that the members of the board are going to change the culture, they're going to change the approach at the deaf school. With no real, yeah, I mean, these people all come from backgrounds. There are a couple of them are parents who have mainstreamed their kids. So
right. There are four new board members. Three of them have a more mainstreaming background. One is a practitioner and an instructor in an ASL. But, you know, I think Leslie's absolutely right about the attention that this brings to it. But I think to presume that they've already got their minds made up is not fair to the people who've been appointed to the board.
Mitch Daniels is trying to change public schools. He's trying to bring about change at the deaf school, and it's basically the same reaction.
Well, you know, I agree with John on this one. I mean, it's not fair to these folks who just got appointed. Like I said, I mean, there's a lot of things you can be critical of some of the public school reform efforts, whether they're going to work or not. I think on this particular case, let's give these folks a chance.
I concur. It's silly to think that there's some kind of preconceived notion about where he wants to go with this. These people have attended one meeting.
The new board members attended one meeting. You saw some video of it there. They were confronted by people demanding that they resign.
I think this is funny because this is an issue clearly that none of us understand all that
no.
well. We don't have a really clear – we don't have reasons to care deeply on one side, I think, or the other of this issue, because these two would
be... Do you really think that they have a preconceived idea of where they're going with this?
In other situations involving political appointments, about things that people being appointed to boards right. that would be making decisions about, I don't know, elections or whatever, would be looking in their background and saying, well, this is bad because they're going to be doing this. I mean, look what we do with Supreme Court cases.
It would be one thing if they pointed out certain things in these folks' background that were troubling or whatnot. And
they're just raising concerns about their issues. I mean, that's what they have the right to do.
Moving on, Indiana Senator Dan Coats says he's seen photos showing Osama bin Laden's body after he was killed in an American raid and believes President Barack Obama made the correct decision withholding the release of those photos. Coats viewed the photos at CIA headquarters and says they are, quote, very graphic and could easily provoke sharp reactions in the Muslim world. Senator Coats says he had no doubts the United States had killed bin Laden but felt obligated to look at the photos when the offer was made. Dan Parker prays for the president. From Dan Coats, what do you make of that?
Well, it's a good start. It'd be nice if he took back his words about the auto restructuring, which has been successful, and you know, some of the other things that he was critical of the president that are turning out to be the right decisions to make, like investing in Afghanistan and Pakistan, which led to this.
Interesting that Coats was one of the people who was invited to view
yeah,
these photos.
I think the president did make the right decision. On not issuing these photographs, and I think Dan Coats is a straight shooter, and he said, look, you know, this is not the kind of thing that we want to inflame the Arab community in particular, and it's just not something we want to do, and he's right to do this.
And in case anybody thought Senator Coats was a closet Barack Obama supporter, yesterday he criticized the president for what he said about Israel.
I think you're going to mostly find that Dan Coats in general is not on the same page as the president, but it is always good to see that somebody is willing to stand up and say they think someone did the right thing when they feel like they did.
There's not enough of that in politics.
Well, that's probably true, and I think that it's right for the administration to offer this to people in positions of authority because it helps reassure the public about the question of whether or not Osama is dead.
Finally, the International Conference on Roundabouts took place this week in Carmel. Roundabouts replace traffic lights at 80% of the intersections there. Carmel's mayor says roundabouts can handle 4 to 5 times the amount of traffic in the same amount of time as a stoplight intersection can handle. Jim Brainerd says they improve the quality of life.
It made a huge difference in the way our city looks and feels and the way people get around.
Improves the quality of life, Mike McDaniel. Is that overstated?
Not at all. Absolutely right. They're safer. They save money from people's gasoline. They keep the traffic moving. I mean, it's all good. I mean, these are a great idea, and it's working in that community. And you're going to see more and more communities all over Indiana and the country do exactly what they're doing in Garland.
We're seeing more of them in Hendricks County.
There's some
Johnson
going up
County,
in Hancock County. County.
Yeah. Carmel's the capital of the world when it comes to roundabouts.
Hey, it's good to be the capital of something.
Well, we've had them here longer than anybody.
That's
it's
right.
Called Monument Circle.
Yeah,
well,
there's that.
It's a huge roundabout.
All I love them.
You got all those dizzy drivers out there now.
Survival of the fittest, baby.
Will this lead to bigger things for Jim Brainerd someday?
Or
is he just going to be stuck in a roundabout?
Oh,
you set me up badly there. But they are prettier. There's no doubt about it. They make for a much prettier place.
That's Indiana Week in Review for this week. Our panel is Democrat Dan Parker, Republican Mike McDaniel, Leslie Weidenbender of the Louisville Courier-Journal, and John Katzenberger of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. If you'd like a podcast of this program, you can find it at wfyi.org/podcast, or starting Monday, you can stream it or get it on demand from Xfinity. Just go to Hoosier TV and look for Indiana Week in Review under News. I'm Jim Shella of Wish TV. We'll see you again next week.
Ice Miller, proud to support Indiana Week in Review. Things can go wrong in a thousand different ways. Businesses need a law firm that knows the thousand and first. The team of legal professionals at Ice Miller is committed to helping put the pieces back together. Ice Miller, it's a complex world. Be advised.